Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Good morning, Calvary. My name is Pastor Mark, and I am so happy to be here with you this morning. Before we get into today's message, we have an opportunity to kind of look around and see what's behind me on the stage. If you're watching from home, I don't know if you can see all of it, but we are reminded that this coming week, we have our week-long Day Camp for Kids, a.k.a. VBS. This is one of the highlights of the year for Calvary. We get to spend 5 days with more than 200 kids and volunteers in the building, and in case you can't tell, if you can't see it from home, whatever, we have an underwater theme going on, and the title of this year's VBS is Scuba. So we're going to be diving in, see what I did there, diving in into what it means to have a relationship with God with all the kids. We're going to take the kids deep into this amazing under-the-sea adventure where they're going to be immersed in God's Word and discover what living water is really all about. And we're going to obviously have a ton of fun doing it as we go. So would you remember to pray this week? Pray for our kids ministry director, Tessa Pullman. Pray for her amazing team of volunteers who have committed, even some taking time off, not to vacation, but to serve in kids ministry. So pray for them and pray that this would be a memorable week for everyone involved or attending. Today we're on week 4 of our At the Movies message series. We have been doing this series almost annually for years. And the whole objective of it is to take advantage of the stories that are told in modern culture, to take what people are already talking about and discussing at the water cooler. I don't know if offices even still have water coolers. I think everybody has their own Stanley mug now. But to take the topics that people are already talking about in the language of today and to point people towards Jesus. Jesus, too, told stories, right? He used parables to convey important messages and to relay instructions. So in a sense, we're taking his lead. But it's also an opportunity to have a little bit of fun. And it's been an opportunity to invite friends to come out to something like church where they get to experience God's word, but in something that's a little bit more familiar. So if you're visiting with us, if you're watching online for the very first time, welcome. So glad you're here. I think you'll have a great time today. Now, I mentioned we're in the fourth week of this message series. So just to recap really quickly, week one, we heard from our lead pastor, Pastor Steve, and he talked about the transformational power of both praise and prayer, and he used the movie Inside Out 2 to do that. In week two, we saw clips of, I gotta read it, it's such a long title. We saw clips from the movie called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes from the Hunger Games. You can tell I've seen it. As Pastor Vince taught us about loving our enemy and how to genuinely care for others. And then, of course, last week, we heard from Pastor Susan, who wonderfully showed us how to discover our true identity and our purpose in Christ. And she used the 2019 adaptation of Little Women. So, if you've been playing along at home, this means that we've had a sequel, a prequel, and a classic with no equal, just to make it rhyme. When choosing a movie for today's message, I thought, why not take advantage of the set behind me, of this under-the-sea decor, since it was going to be here anyway. So any guesses on what I selected as my movie choice? You got it. I chose Wonka because I couldn't convince Tessa to change the VBS theme just for me. And there was no, Nemo is too old of a movie. So I chose Wonka. But I have an under the sea set, so it's great. If you haven't seen this movie, you definitely have at least heard of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which originally, of course, was a book written by Roald Dahl in 1964, followed quickly by a movie of the same name in 1971, starring Gene Wilder, or perhaps you missed the slightly less popular version in 2005, starring Johnny Depp. But all of these movies and the book tell the story of several contest winners who win a tour of a magical chocolate factory that is guided by the eccentric Willy Wonka himself. The movie Wonka, however, which was just released this past December. It's described as a musical fantasy comedy drama. It's kind of a little bit of everything. And it tells the origin story of said Willy Wonka. So it talks about the very early days of Wonka as a chocolatier with dreams of establishing his own chocolate shop slash factory. And if you haven't seen it, if you ever needed a reason to go watch it, if you want to see Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa, there's your reason right there. That's all you need. But it's a great movie. I loved it. I was surprised that I liked it as much as I did, but it was great. Today I have titled the message, Taste and See. In Psalms 34:8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." So we're going to come back to this verse throughout this morning. But taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, like everyone, I suppose, I enjoy food. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a foodie. Like, I can't taste something and be like, ooh, do I detect saffron and a hint of fennel seeds? That's not me. In fact, I had to Google those words just to say that last sentence. But I am adventurous with the food that I eat. I like to try new things. I've never understood my friends who know what they like and they have it all the time. No matter what restaurant we go to, they order the same thing, which just goes to show you just how many restaurants have beef dip. Like, it's boring to me. I'm kind of the opposite. The stranger it looks on the menu, the more likely I am to try it. So as a result, I have tried some unusual things, unusual to me, I think, anyway. At the Chinese night market in Richmond, on two different visits, I tried frog legs, and I tried a platter of sliced pig tongue. And both were delicious. Maybe not surprising for everyone, but I was surprised. They were great. I loved it. At the P&E one year, I always try and see what's new and strange at the P&E. And a couple years ago, I had a flight of sliders, and each burger had a different meat. So I had a kangaroo burger, a crocodile burger, and a camel burger. Again, all were amazing. The kangaroo burger, it was a little rubbery, but I should have seen that coming, I suppose. And I've had boiled goat from a street vendor in Haiti. I've had durian fruit. I've had durian fruit right here in the church building. And if you've never had durian before, it tastes, when you first taste it, it tastes a little bit like juicy fruit gum. But it smells a little bit like raw sewage or human waste. And I am not exaggerating. That is what it smells like. The taste and the smell do not go together. And durian fruit is a little bit like garlic because you actually kind of taste it all day long. Every time you have a little burp, you taste durian again. Not the juicy fruit gum version of durian. You taste the raw sewage every burp the rest of the day. That is one thing I am not going to try again. I probably would, but who am I kidding? I shared a can of silkworm larvae with Pastor Vince. Here's one. I had apple and cheddar cheese ice cream cone, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It was apple-flavored ice cream with chunks of cheddar cheese in it, and I loved it. I loved it. I had sushi once that had these fish skin flakes on top that moved continually while you ate it. They flexed and relaxed, moving the whole time while you ate it. I've had rattlesnake, I've had grits, I've had chitlins, I've had Vegemite, not all in the same plate, but I've tried all these things, and that's just the beginning of the list. You know, to use the words of Daniel Tiger, you got to try new things because they might taste good, and that's probably a reference for only a few people. I could go on and on and on, but there are too many of them. And even more so, each of them, there's a story attached. Each of them, there's a memory for me of tasting something for the very first time. And I don't know if you have memories like that, of memories of experiencing food for the first time. For all the parents, you might have more recent memories instead of watching your babies or your toddlers try something for the first time, whether it's a sweetness of an ice cream cone or the always hilarious and filmable, you know, passing them a lemon wedge, which is so fun to watch. In the movie Wonka, Willy Wonka meets this young homeless girl. Her name is Noodle. And in one scene, Wonka is surprised to learn that Noodle has never tried chocolate. Gasp. Like, it's a big deal. She's never tried chocolate. And what does it mean, though? So she's trying chocolate for the first time. I've listed all the things I've tried for the first time. What does it mean when we read, taste and see that the Lord is good? Can we taste God? Can we even see God? Or are these misfit action words in this verse? As we all know, to taste, and the meaning behind taste in this case, is it always involves testing or sampling something. And to see, metaphorically, is connected to understanding or perceiving something. So the phrase taste and see then means try and experience. David, who is the author of Psalm 34, is urging God's people to discover the goodness of the Lord through personal trial, by personally experiencing it for themselves. He doesn't want readers to merely take his word for it, that the Lord is good. He wants them to actively experience and know for themselves that God is good. You know, we've all heard of Hershey chocolate bars. I don't think I remember a time in my life at all, even as a child, where I didn't recognize the plain brown logo of Hershey. But there was a day several years ago, there was a day where Hershey chocolate became more than a chocolate bar. It became an experience for me. And it was when my travels took me to Hershey, Pennsylvania. And you're going to think I'm describing something out of the Wonka movie, but this was my actual experience. Now, going into Hershey, Pennsylvania, I already knew that the town was named after Milton Hershey, who is the founder of Hershey Chocolates, but I didn't expect it to be quite as magical as it was. You see, when you go into town, it begins immediately. When you pull into the town of Hershey, you literally turn on to Chocolate Avenue. I'm not making this up. And Chocolate Avenue, in and of itself, is amazing because it's lined with lampposts, but every single lamppost is silver, and the top of the lamppost is an oversized, foil-wrapped Hershey's Kiss. Every single lamppost. So you're already in a wonderland. And then while you're in Hershey, you could also visit Hershey Park, which is a 121-acre amusement park with rides that you can get on called names like Reese's Cup Fusion or Jolly Rancher Remix or Candymonium, right? You can meet their characters, their mascots, with names like Hershey Bar or Miss Kiss or Reese or even Twizzler. This is what this world is like. And besides the amusement park, you can go to Chocolate World, which I did. At Chocolate World, you can experience their free chocolate-making tour. You get free chocolate tasting. Hershey, Pennsylvania is like visiting another planet, another sugar coma-inducing planet. It was amazing. And I could go on and on about my day in Hershey, Pennsylvania and all the chocolate I ate, but unless you visit Hershey, Pennsylvania for yourself, you're never really going to get it. Excuse me. You know, I could hold up this chocolate bar, and most people can just look at this and they can imagine the taste or remember the taste, but it's not the same as actually opening this up and tasting it. The experience is different than the memory or the imagining. There's actually a quote from Milton Hershey himself that I think relates back to our verse today. He said this, "Give them quality. That's the best kind of advertising." In a way, I think that's what David is saying when he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. David is saying, I could describe God's goodness all day, and honestly, he kind of continues to do that throughout the Psalms that he wrote, but it will never come close to tasting for yourself. As humans, we associate taste with pleasure and satisfaction. Unless you've gone gluten-free, I guess. Then not so much. Bible commentator Matthew Henry elaborates with this same kind of idea. He says this, "Let God's goodness be rolled under the tongue as a sweet morsel." He's describing God's word like it's candy. When David says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," he's calling us to figuratively take a bite, right? To try for ourselves by our own experience and find out exactly how satisfyingly good God is. The Apostle Peter applies the same language. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, he says this. In fact, he pushes us even further with, with some direction that he gives when he says, "So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness." Tasting must happen before seeing. In other words, our spiritual experiences bring us spiritual enlightenment and understanding. David desires others to taste and see, right? He wants them to experience what he has experienced so that they can know what he has come to know, which is the soul-satisfying, the soul-sustaining goodness of God. You know, I read these verses in 1 Peter, and I was reminded of another experience I had. And you're going to think I've been on like a chocolate factory world tour, but these stories are years apart from each other. For those of you who don't know, I am the director of ICR Canada, which is an organization that raises awareness and support for Christians who are persecuted specifically because of their faith. And one of the things that came with this job is an annual conference, an annual meeting in Switzerland, where we come together and discuss all of the projects and the work that we're doing in many of the countries where we try to help. Now, I'm probably telling you this for the first time, but Switzerland is kind of known for their chocolate. It's a thing there. Last year, in my visit to Switzerland, I was able to extend my stay for a couple of days, and I got to tour the Lindt Chocolate Museum. And, well, here's a kind of a brief recap of how they do the tour. So you start in this very large foyer, which I believe is Swiss for lobby, and there's a chocolate fountain that's got to be 30 feet high and just chocolate, liquid chocolate flowing like crazy. So the whole room is just, you smell chocolate in the air the whole time. This is where you wait before you start the tour. So your mouth is already watering before you even begin the tour. Once you go in, you're given headphones, and you can proceed with this self-guided audio tour. And it was actually really cool. It was more educational than I would have expected, too. I learned a lot. It goes through, starts with cocoa cultivation and how they do that. It goes through the history of chocolate. It talks about Swiss pioneers in the chocolate industry. And then it gets to chocolate production. And it was that chocolate production part of the tour that you could put your hand under this sensor and a little chocolate would drop into your hand and you could taste a few things. And it dawned on me as I was sampling this chocolate, it dawned on me that they're giving us a taste of how good their chocolate is so that we would crave their chocolate right before entering their gift shop at the end. Sneaky Lindt, which is also a great band name. Sneaky Lindt. Anyway, but isn't that what Paul is saying in the verses we just read? When we have tasted of God's goodness, we will crave his kindness like babies craving milk. We will crave God's pure spiritual milk. And when we cry out for and receive pure spiritual milk from God and all his goodness, Paul describes it as the full salvation experience. And the reason he calls it that, I think, is because this isn't something the world ever offers. It's only offered by God. Outside of God, outside of God's promises, the world's solutions to our needs, to our problems, to whatever issues we have, are pretty artificial. They're plastic and temporary and, in some cases, even poisonous for us. There's a scene in the Wonka movie where Willy Wonka's chocolate has been sabotaged. It's no longer the pure Wonka chocolate. So in this moment that was intended to show off the quality of his chocolate, instead proves to expose the impurities of his chocolate with devastating effects, basically poisoning his customers with, you know, in this case, it was cartoonishly fast-growing body and facial hair, because this mystery ingredient was thrown into his chocolate. In Matthew chapter 7, we can read this. "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And these verses just continue to speak of God's goodness and God's promise keeping, really. Now, before I move on, I should be fair to the Lindt Chocolate Museum, because there was one more room before we got to the gift shop. You know these Lindt chocolate truffles? I've got one here. These little Lindt chocolate truffles, you can find them almost everywhere. They're delicious. Well, in the last room before the gift shop, it was wall to wall filled with barrel-sized clear containers, each filled with every flavor of these truffles that Lindt has ever offered, and they were help yourself, free of charge, eat as many as you want. And I did. And I tasted, and it was good. So they weren't as sneaky as I implied before the gift shop. But if we go back to our taste and see verse, there's a second half of the verse that we've actually barely talked about so far. The verse, again, it says this: taste and see that the Lord is good. Here's the second half. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. It seems to imply that tasting and seeing of God's goodness comes from taking refuge in God. So we have to ask, what does it actually mean to take refuge in God? Or how do we take refuge in God? Well, the first thing it means is we need to turn towards God. It means turning away from false refuges, all the familiar, the self-reliant ways that we seek or use or to solve or escape life's problems. It means turning away from that, and it means repenting of things like control, things like perfection or manipulation, repenting of withdrawal anger, even repenting of escaping, and instead crying out to God in our distress as a first resource, not a last. Secondly, we need to recognize our dependence on God. You know, we are powerless against the physical dangers of this life or against the strategies of Satan, even against the sinful tendencies of our own heart. But God has promised us that his grace is what? Sufficient. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. And as we commit to depending on his wisdom and depending on his strength, we will find refuge. Thirdly, we need to meekly submit. I think one of the biggest hindrances to trusting God is that simply that we're afraid that he won't give us everything we want. I think sometimes we fear that the Lord is not going to give us the exact kind of help that we think is best, which is honestly kind of funny. We don't want to endure. We want this instant relief. But God is God, and God is doing eternal God things in our lives. One of God's gospel purposes for trials is to refine us and to make us more like Christ. On my very first trip to Switzerland, there was this unexpected chain of events, which doesn't matter right now, but it led me to having lunch with a man named Jörg Lauterach. Jörg Lauterach, a Swiss man. Jörg, who is now in his 70s, is a world-renowned chocolatier. I was basically having lunch with Willy Wonka. It was awesome. Lauterach chocolate is less known internationally than its Swiss competition like Lindt, but there's Lauterach chocolate shops all over Switzerland. And it's some of the best chocolate on the planet. I think I just swallowed, my mouth started watering just talking about Lauterach chocolate. Lauterach chocolate was started by Jörg's, the guy I'm having lunch with, Jörg's father, Rudolf Lauterach, who invented and patented this process to produce these thin-walled, hollow, round chocolates for truffles. This invention totally revolutionized the chocolate industry and put Lauterach on the map. In fact, the Lindt truffles, the one I was just showing you, probably wouldn't exist in this form if not for Rudolf Lauterach inventing this chocolate process. And as I sat with Jörg over this meal, we talked about, of course, we talked about chocolate, but we also talked about life. We talked about raising boys. We talked about being dads. We talked about being Christians. And then he talked about being a Christian in the public eye. Jurg took over the La Rock Chocolate Company from his father. And being an award-winning chocolatier himself, he was basically a Swiss celebrity. Even during the lunch that we had, one of the servers from the restaurant, not our server, different server, came over and asked for this guy's autograph. I was sitting with Chocolate Royalty. Also, potentially good band name, Chocolate Royalty. But as Jurg shared about about more recently handing the company over to his son, he had tears in his eyes. And he said to me, he said, while he had always intended to hand the company over to his son, the timing wasn't exactly his own. As a person well known in the public eye, Jurg began to be publicly criticized, internationally criticized, even ridiculed for his Christian beliefs. He was criticized for his belief in God and for the values that he lived his life and for the values he worked with and led his company through. Specifically, he was criticized because he was vocal about what he believes the Bible, or how he believes the Bible describes marriage, how marriage is defined in the Bible. He was criticized specifically because he began to speak out for the unborn, which in this day and age is not politically correct to do so. His views and his words and his values began to make the news, and it began to affect his business. Now, Jurg Lauterach could have retracted his statements, at least his public statements. He could have just gone quiet and it would have gone away. Instead, what he did is he handed the reins of the company over to someone else and began to share his faith and pronounce the gospel even louder. You see, Jurg had a taste of God's goodness, and he found refuge in God that defended him, protected him against the arrows of the public opinion about his faith and his values. Once you taste and once you see the Lord's goodness, your life is never the same. It fills you and it affects you in ways that you never could have imagined, never could have thought possible. There's one more scene in the Wonka movie where Wonka is able to share the real pure Wonka chocolate to the crowd, the untampered with chocolate. And what happens in that scene affects everyone who eats his chocolate, including the critics, including those who are trying to shut him down, and it changes them, affects them. In fact, in the movie, they all begin to fly. That's how pure and amazing and magical his chocolate was. In Psalm 34, it goes on, it continues on, not just the one verse we've read today, obviously, but it goes on to outline examples of God's incredible goodness to those who take refuge in him. He takes care of our every need. He provides us with a good, long life. He is with us through troubles and saves us even from enemies. Those who taste and see that the Lord is good will know, will experience his provision. Believers in Jesus experience tastes of God's goodness and grace even when we observe the beauty of his creation, or when we recognize his blessing of provision or his blessing of protection and care. We taste and see his goodness when we contemplate his holiness or his infinite righteousness. We delight in goodness when we appreciate the cost of Christ's sacrifice for our salvation. The only way to genuinely taste and see that the Lord is good is to put the matter to the test, to try to experience his goodness for ourselves. And so today, my hope is, if you have not already, you will taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray right now. Father, you are good. We have tasted of your goodness, and we want to proclaim it to the world. We will not be kept quiet. We have seen the beautiful and the mighty work of your hands, and we know that you are good. You alone are good, God. We trust you yesterday. We trust you today and tomorrow. In this situation and in the ones to come, whether good or bad, we run to you. Father, if we allow fear or discouragement or other feelings to lead us astray, would you remind us of your goodness? For you alone are our only refuge. We will trust in you. And Lord, thank you for blessing us Whether we deserve it or not, you are so good. May the glory always be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.